Today we're learning Nida Daf Kaf Gimel. We were in the middle of discussing the Machloket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in the Mishnah. If you go back to Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, there was a Machloket at the end of the Mishnah. If a woman is Yoledet Mapelet, Amim Behemah Chayava Of. Okay, today's stuff's going to be a little bit strange because we're going to have a lot of discussions about different types of things that a woman can miscarry. Again, just the thought that she's miscarried. It's a little unclear to understand what's going on here. Is it in the Mishnat Eretz Yisrael book, they were discussing that the earlier parts of the Mishnah, the Chaticha and the Klipa, Sa'ara, Yavchushim. So there was a claim that possibly it's talking about early stages of fetal development and how the Klipa is really from, you know, when it starts to develop. So there's kind of like a, not really a shell around it, but an encasing, you know, there's like the sac is created, and that maybe it's at a very early stage, and just pieces of that come out that are kind of peel-like, and then the later stage is, you know, like the afar is kind of after it's like the breakdown of the cells of an early stage of miscarriage. Possibly that's what it's referring to. Again, when you get to the dagim and the behemah and what exactly is going on, and we're going to see today. Is it possible they really think like an animal came out of the woman or something that looks animal-like? Again, it sounds a little like evolution, you know, in terms of that there's not such a huge difference between animals and humans. And again, it's very hard to understand the reality. Are they really just discussing theoretical? You know, you have to imagine what.
Embryos at a very early age, even the fetuses at a very early age, they don't look human.
Right, it's true. They don't exactly look human. Do they look like animals, fish, you know?
Maybe
they do look like
maybe
fish.
Ape-like, but not fish-like.
Yeah, right.
The early ones, but from the start they've been using descriptive things.
Right, descriptive things.
So
right.
Irrelevant to
right.
Our common sense.
Right. One thing
science.
Also that he pointed out in the story about this woman, we saw those two stories yesterday that they went to from Tivon to Yavne. You know, I wasn't really thinking about it, but to go from Tivon to Yavne in those days took a very long time. And they said, obviously, this wasn't a practical question that they were asking because the woman obviously had to know already right away what, you know, by the time they got the question and they came back to her, you know, it was a long time and not so relevant anymore. And that to a certain extent, they were dealing with theoretical issues, and you could see that they were grasping at straws to try to understand what are these things, you know, almost like for scientific purposes, right? It's true, it's not relevant anymore, but let's try to figure out what this is so we know, you know, again, their struggles with trying to figure out all these things that they didn't really understand. Okay, so what we had yesterday was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, if you look at the two dots on Kaf Ben Amud Bet, says, "My time at the Rabbi Meir, ho il v'ne'em rabo yitzira ka'adam." Right? That was why, the reason why Rabbi Meir, I forgot to repeat, the machloket was, Rabbi Meir says, if she's mapelet min behema chayava of, then we're already going to treat that as dam le'dam. And Chachamim said, kol she'en bo mitzurat adam, ein o vlad. If it's not looking like a human, then it's not a vlad. So now, they said, we're going to have three different explanations for Shita Rabbi Meir. The first was yesterday. Ho ilvenem rabo yitzira ka'adam. Because of the word vayitzer, and right, says yitzira, both by animals, both by humans. So we're going to do what we call a gzera shava. Then we got into a whole long discussion. What about the tanini? And we can learn from vayivra, vayivra. And we can have there. And then we talked about what's mufne mitzad achad and mufne mishne tzadim, which basically means, right, is the word necessary in the verse? If the word is necessary in the verse, then it's not mufne. In order to have a gzera shava, the stronger gzera shava, the most strong gzera shava is where both words on both sides of the equation are unnecessary in the pasuk, and then we have a strong gzera shava. So what we saw yesterday, okay, was Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, and he gave the differences. If you remember, I charted it out. If it's not mufne kol ikar, okay, look at the chart, then you can't learn from it. If it's mufne, then you can't really have a gzera shava. If it's mufne on one side, then the Rabbi Yishmael, lemedim ve'em mishivin, and the Rabbanan, lemedim u'mishivin, which means Rabbi Yishmael says you can learn the gzera shava, and you can't question it. The Rabbanan, you can learn it, but if there's a question, you can knock it out. And if it's a mufne mishnei tzadim, then you can learn it out, and a mishivin according to everybody. It's a very strong kal v'chomer. Gzera shava. So now we said, what's the difference between them? Well, the difference between them, and that's according to Rabbi Yishmael, according to this reading, you have both mufne mitzad achad and mufne mishnei tzadim. You can learn the gzera shava, and you can't question it. So they say, what's the difference then? Well, the difference is if you have two up against each other, right, this one will be stronger, and that's exactly our case with the Vayitzer, Vayitzer, and Vayivra, Vayivra with the Taninim. Because the Taninim, it's unnecessary. It's one of the words is unnecessary by the Adam, but by the Taninim, it's necessary. Whereas by the Yitzer, on the Adam and Behema, both are not necessary because there's a pasuk which talks about their creation elsewhere. That's what we got up to. So now we're going to have a different, I basically set this up because the second side of the chart, you're going to see somebody has a different version. Rav Acha Barei de Rava Matne La Mishme de Rabbi Elazar LeKula. Okay, Kula is not really used here in this usual way of Kula and Chumrah, but he means he's like one step, you know, kind of easier, meaning that, right, it's not exactly easier, it's just one step off. Okay, so how does it work? Both words are necessary in the verse. Lemedin umeshivim. You can learn the kavachomer, and you can, although you can question it. Okay, but if you remember, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says ein lemedin bichlal. Okay, so what does this mean? It's easier, meaning it's easier to learn gzeira shava according to this version, right? Because you can learn a gzeira shava. Sorry, I keep messing up the terms. You can learn a gzeira shava even if the word's not available, okay? Mufne mitzad echad, and then, so now you just keep moving on in that direction. So mufne mitzad echad, everyone agrees it's a machloket. The question is, what's the machloket? In this case, l'Rabbi Yishmael, l'medim ve'em eshivin, you can learn it, and no one can question it. And l'Rabbanan, l'medim u'meshivim. So that's actually the same, right? It's just that in this version, what comes out the same, right? Remember, in the last version, what did we say? Rabbi Yishmael has the same exact explanation for Mufne Mitzad Echad and Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. In this version, Rabbanan have the exact same explanation for not Mufne at all and Mufne Mitzad Echad. Okay? And then if you go on, Mufne Mishnei Tzadim, Divrei Kol LeMedim Ve'eim Meshivim. So the whole second part ends up the same, right? It's just the first part is different, which affects which, where do we have the same thing for one person? So here our question is now going to be against Rabbanan. Ule Rabbanan, who say l'medimu mishivim, both if it's not mufne at all, and if it's mufne mitzad echad, ma ikabe mufne mitzad echad, l'sheina mufne kol ikar. So what's the difference between those two? Nafkamina, hecha dimishkacha la mufne mitzad echad, v'sheina mufne kol ikar. We can have it in a case where it's not mufne, where we have one case where it's mufne mitzad echad, and one case where it's not mufne at all, right? The lav lahayit lepircha, the lav lahayit lepircha. And there's no, that's right. Obviously, if you can knock one of them out, well, then that one easily gets knocked out. It doesn't matter which one, because both of them are lemedim umeshivim, and you can question them. But if neither has a pircha, and then we end up with two that seem to be equal, well, then obviously they're not exactly equal, because one is not mufne at all. So we're going to reject that one. Shavkinan she'ena mufne kol ikar. We're going to put that one aside. V'gamrina mi mufne mitzad echad. And we're going to learn it from the mufne mitzad echad. Okay, so that's where we're going. That's the difference between those two. V'hacha mai pircha ika. Now what's the pircha in our case? Mishum di'ika lemifrach ma la'adam sheken mitameh mechayim. Okay, now we're going to say like this. In our gzera shava, what's the potential question one could ask? What was the whole thing? We said, well, it's not mufne mishnei tzedim. It's right. In that both, in the Adam Behema, both verses are extra, which means you can't question it. Well, why are they telling us you can't question it? There must be a question. What's the question? You might think Adam and Behema can't be compared because there's a big difference between Adam and Behema. Adam can become Tameh when he's alive, right? We know that. You could be a Tameh mate. You could be all parts of Tumah. But a Behemah, if you remember, can only become Tameh when it's dead. A live animal can never become Tameh. It's not Mekabel Tumah until it dies. Okay, then you could have Tumah Nevela, right? There's all sorts of Tumah that can happen, but not when it's alive, right? It's also food. So once it's dead, it's food. It could have Tumah Ochlin. Okay, so that was all in within the first explanation of what the machloket Rabbi Meir Chachamim is, and where does Rabbi Meir, what's his reason? Rabbi Meir, who says we're going to treat mapelet kemin behema as an adam, tumat leida, is because of this gzera shava. Now we're going to say, not only did Rabbi Yehuda say this in the name of Shmuel, also Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, v'chein amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, he also said it, okay? Again, why do we do this always? Because we want to show Shmuel said it in Babylonia, And Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael also said the same thing. In other words, that sometimes we have very different Masorot from both places, and sometimes they say the same thing.
And it's extra important to point out the Masorot, because you can't do Gzeirah Shavah without a Masorot, no?
Ah, well, right, that's true also. Yeah, in this case it would be important because you can't do Gzeirah Shavah without a Masorot. By the way, bringing that up, this whole sugya is very interesting in the light of that, because it seems very odd. It almost seems to contradict that principle, because we always say that Gzeirah Shavah you can't learn on your own. But then if you can learn it on your own, you have a Masorot about it, how could you knock it out with a question, right? The whole thing is you can learn it, and but yet you can knock it out with a question. So it's a little bit questionable, bichlal, how this could even make sense. Okay, so now he says the same thing. Hainu tamad de Rabbi Meir, ho ilvenem rabo yitzira ka adam. Okay, so now in his Beit Midrash, the question, there became some questions about this. Amar le Rabbi Ami. According to this, okay, you ready? Elameata hamapelet dmut hal, if she miscarries or discharges something that looks like a mountain, imo tmea leida, shenema kihine yotzer harim uvore ruach. Okay, this is a pasuk from Amos. What do you see here? The word yitzira is mentioned in the context of harim, and later on we'll get to uvore ruach. So now, if your whole thing is gzera shava, yitzira, yitzira, then you should apply it also to hal. So Amar Leh, har mikama pelet? A woman can't possibly discharge something that's like a mountain. A mountain is gigantic. Even who he dekama pelet. If it's going to be something that maybe has the shape of a mountain, well, we're going to call that a rock shape and not a mountain shape, because it's more the size of a rock, not a mountain. Hahu gush ikre. Right? Basically, if what you're saying is it's like a rock, because it's a rock that's like a har, well, that we call a gush, a clump. We don't call that a mountain. Ela me'ata, they say, fine. So forget that question. Let's take this question. Hamapelet ruach tehei mot me'a leida. Ho'il b'nem rabba b'ria ka'adam. Remember we talked about mapelet ruach. That's a phantom pregnancy. And right, she thinks she's pregnant, something comes out, but it's not really anything. So here you see borei ruach. Ruach is also vayitz, right? It was mentioned in this pasuk, hinei yotzer harim uvorei ruach. Dichtiv uvorei ruach. V'chi tema lo mufne. So now maybe you'll say, well, maybe that word isn't extra, but of course it's extra, because midahava le lemichtav yotzer harim viruach. Right? It said Yotzer and it said Bore. It could have just said Yotzer Harim Beruach. So therefore, Bore is clearly unnecessary, which means it's Panui, which means you can darshan Xer Shava also to there. So why didn't you say that Amapelet Ruach is also Tmea Tumat Leida? Amar Lei, here's his good answer. Danim Dibre Torah mi Dibre Torah ve'en Danim Dibre Torah mi Dibre Kabbalah. This is a pasuk from the Nevi'im. We do Gzeirah Shavah between Psukim and the Torah to the Torah. We don't do Gzeirah Shavah from Psukim and the Torah to Psukim and the Navi. We'd have to really check if that's true across the board. I don't know the answer. Okay, that was all within the... So we had two of the same readings of Rabbi Meir, and just the discussion that ensued after in each place was a little bit different. Now we're going to have two other explanations of Rabbi Meir which don't go according to the Gzeirah Shavah. Rabba Barbar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hainu Tama de Rabbi Meir, Ho Il Ve'enehem Domot Keshel Adam. Their eyes of an animal look like the eyes of a person. So now they say, Alameata, Hamapelet Dmut Nachash, Tehei Mot Me'ale Dam, Ho Il Ve'gagale Noah Gula Keshel Adam. So they say, well, if that's the case, let's take a snake. Now, a snake you would assume would be more in the category of the fish and those animals, which we don't say. Right, those creatures, which we don't say has, you know, or what is it said, dagim and rimasim and things like that. So, although she's not tmei aleidah, but yet the nachash's eyes are round like human eyes. B'chitei mahachinami, and if you do say maybe really nachash is going to be tumat leidah, if a woman gives birth to something that looks like a nachash, litnei nachash, it should have said nachash in the Mishnah. So they say no. It really could be that nachash is included, and it didn't say nachash. And why didn't it say nachash? Because itana nachash, if you would have given the case of the nachash, hava amina b'nachash u'depligei rabbanan alei de Rabbi Meir, d'lo k'ti b'yitzira, ava behema b'chaya, lo pligei d'chti b'yitzira. If you would just mention the nachash, We would have thought that maybe just in the case of a Nachash is a machloket. Now here it connects a little with the earlier answer. Because Nachash doesn't say Yitzira, so you might have thought it's not really like Adam. And that's why Rabbi Meir says, that's why Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir. But maybe then you'd think the Chachamim would agree in the case of an animal. Therefore, it didn't bring up Nachash because they didn't want you to think that that was the case the Chachamim disagreed about and not any other case. So they're basically saying it's possible, at least, that Nachash would be in the category of the animals. Right? They might have thought, you're not cholek in that case because there it says Yitzira. Now another question, though. V'haga be'mumim katanela. What did we just say? We said the animal's eyes are like human eyes. But that's very difficult to say based on some other source. Okay, it's interesting. They're not saying based on reality and what we see. They're saying based on the following source. If you remember when we learned about the mumim of the animals, it says, etche galgal eino agol kishel adam. That's a mum by an animal. If the eye is round like human eye, that's a problem. The eyes of animals are not supposed to be round like human eyes. So what do they answer? Lokasha, haba uchma, haba tziria. Okay. There's different parts of the eye. There's the black part, the pupil, and then there's the eye socket. The eye socket of an animal is different from the eye socket of a human. But the eye, the pupil is the same. So what they're saying is, in our case, what we're talking about is the pupil. Since the pupil is like a human pupil, that's why. But the eye socket is different. And therefore, if the eye socket of an animal looks like a human eye, well then, that's a moon. Okay, so they're talking about two different parts of the eye. That was all explanation number two of Rabbi Meir. Now we go to explanation number three, which is going to be similar to explanation number two, but a little bit different. Rabbi Yana Yamar, Hainu Tamed Rabbi Meir, Ho Il Ve'enehem Ochot Lefnehem Keshel Adam. Their eyes are in the front of their face like human eyes. So they say, but wait a minute. V'ha Of De'en Enav Ochot Lefanav. But what about a bird? Birds are listed in the Mishnah where? With the chayot, with the animals. And birds, their eyes are not in the front of their face like humans. V'ka'ama Rabbi Meir, ditameh. And Rabbi Meir there says, it's tameh like a human. So Amar Abaye, v'karya v'kipufa. There's two different birds that, basically we're going to say, when it says ofot in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir says it's treated like human, it's only this particular type bird, two different types of birds called the kirya and the kipufa, ubishar ofotlo, but not any other birds. Okay, so we're now limiting the ofot of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah just to those two birds, according to Rabbi Yana's explanation. Because according to Rabbi Yana's explanation, it can only be birds whose eyes are in front of their face and not on the sides. So now they say meitive, but wait, there's a contradictory source. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, it should be Gamliel and not Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, nir'im divrei Rabbi Meir behema v'chaya, v'divrei chachamim ba'ofot. Okay, he basically says, it seems to me that we should hold like Rabbi Meir when it comes to animals, right, domesticated and non-domesticated, that it's human, but when it comes to birds, we should treat it like chachamim, who say it's not like human. My ofot, so now what ofot are we referring to? Ilema bekarya bekipufa. If the only machloket is about karya and kipufa, then we should say like this. My shna behema b'chaya, de'enehem ochot lefnehem kishel adam. And if we're going to paskin like Rabbi Meir in the chaya and behema, why? Well, according to Rabbi Yana, the reason is the similarity, because their eyes are in front of their faces. Well then, karya b'kipufa nami. The karya v'kipufa, we should also paskin like Rabbi Meir. Now, according to this explanation, we said now we've gotten stuck in the place that the only machloka between them is karya and kipufa, which means if we're going to paskin like Rabbi Meir in this case and Chachamim in that case, we must be talking only about the karya and kipufa. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because why should we distinguish between animals and the birds that are karya and kipufa? Elapshita bishar ofot. It must be talking about all ofot. Michlal de Rabbi Meir palig b'shar ofot. And then we conclude, if it's talking about all other birds, then it must be Rabbi Meir disagrees about all other birds, and then we reject that explanation, and then we're stuck with, what do we do with this karya and kipufa? So what do they answer? No. This bright to the contradicted, we're going to read it differently. Chisure machasra v'hachi katane. It's missing words, and this is how it should read. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, nir'in divrei Rabbi Meir behema v'chaya, v'hu adin l'karya v'kipufa. And Also, the Karin Kipufa, reason being, Raviana's reason, their eyes are in front of their head. V'divrei chachamim, and divrei chachamim b'shara fodim, well, paskin like chachamim in all other words. Didn't we just say they don't argue? Wait, here are the extra words. Sha'af Rabbi Meir lo nechlaki mahem ela b'kariya b'kipufa. We're going to hold like Chachamim because Rabbi Meir even holds like them. Meaning, there's no machloket, and that resolves our issue. Okay, so now we can explain that really the machloket's only about Kari and Kipufa, and even Rabbi Meir agrees if the bird isn't one of those two birds, we're going to say it's not Tameh Leida. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bahatanya, and here's a brayta to support this reading. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Hamapelet bim mehema b'chaya. L'divrei Rabbi Meir Vlad, u'l'divrei Chachamim ein Vlad. Okay, this is like our Mishnah, right? If you're mapelet, like a Behema or Chaya, it's a Vlad, according to Rabbi Meir, not according to Chachamim. U'be'ofot tibadek. When it comes to an oaf, you have to check. Now, what does it mean you have to check? Right? And again, she miscarries this part that looks like a bird, this piece of something that looks like a bird. So you have to check it. Now, leman tibadek. For who? According to who does it have to be checked? It doesn't say according to Chachamim or according to Rabbi Meir. So now we're going to say, Lavli divrei Rabbi Meir, da'amar karir kipufa in shar ofot lo. Does it not mean, according to Rabbi Meir, we check the bird, and it's right now, right, what they say? Be'man chaya, according to Rabbi Meir, it's a vlad. If it's a bird, you have to check. And what do you have to check? If it's karir kipufa, and its eyes are in front of its head or not. Okay, so if it's karir kipufa, he's going to say it's a vlad. And if not, it's not. So that's our proof that, again, what do you see? It's only Kari and Kipufa that he thinks is a vlad. But Amarav Achabarid Ravika, he rejects this and says, lo. You could explain, Tibadek le Rabbanan. Because what did Rabbanan say? You could say, Da'amre Kari v'Kipufa in Shar Ofot lo. In other words, maybe even Rabbanan would agree with Kari and Kipufa and not Shar Ofot. So you could say that check according to Rabbanan, right? He says it's Eino vlad. One second, according to this. So now, we don't really understand yet why the Gemara is saying this, because it doesn't make any sense. Whoever said, the rabbis made a distinction. Rabbis say, what's the Chachamim's position? Even Chayava, even Chayam Be'ema is not considered a vlad. So Mapitom, all of a sudden, Rabbi Acha is suggesting, Tibadek l'Rabbanan, to see if it's a Karya in Kipufa. That's weird. U'mayshna Karya b'Kipufa mi'Be'ema v'Chaya. In other words, basically what they're saying is, the way you read the sources, according to Chachamim, check. If it's a Kari and Kipufa, then it's going to be Tumeah Tumat Leida. So now they say, why would you say Behemah and Chaya is not a Vlad Chachamim, but they would say Kari and Kipufa? What's the difference between them? So what do they answer? Ho'il v'yeshlan l'satot ke'adam. Their cheeks are like the cheeks of a human, and therefore these two words are unique. That's According to Chachamim, no other animal, no fish, no animal, nothing is like a human, but just this Kari and Kipufa. Okay, so these are two ways of reading this. Does this support our previous reading, or does it not? According to this, it doesn't really support our previous reading. Ba'amine Rabbi Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zera. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the following question. I'll preface this by reminding you about Rabbi Yirmiyah. He always asks these nitpicky questions, and if you think that we made that up, you're going to see in today's class that even the Gemara basically says it about him and we'll see. They go even a little further besides just saying he asked these nitpicky questions. They're even going to say that he had an agenda, a particular agenda. We'll see what it is. You'll be kind of surprised. Ba'amine Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. So he asked the following question. I'm prefacing this because otherwise you're not going to understand his question. Okay? His question is a crazy question. L'Rabbi Meir de'amar behema b'me'ei isha v'lab ma'al yehu. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that if there's a tsurat behema inside a woman, right, it's considered a real vlad, meaning, right, because what did he say? If you miscarry something that looks like an animal, it's considered treated like like a human. So that's basically like saying it's really a good vlad, okay? So now he's taking one step further to almost make it sound like it's possible this vlad could live for a little while, okay? She gives birth to something that's animal-like. Okay, we've talked about this before, right? I always have in mind this series I remember as a child, which always creeped me out. I've mentioned it in class before. There was this series, I don't remember, but it was these humans gave birth to these green animal-like creatures, and it was, you know, some sci-fi, very disgusting. It always stayed in my mind because it was pretty disgusting. But that's what it sounds like they're discussing, that there's this possibility that that could actually happen, that a woman could give birth to something maybe in between human and animal. So if Rabbi Meir seems to say this is a vlad ma'al yehu, so what happens if kibel ba'avia kidushin mahu? What if, right, a father can betroth, there's actually a debate about whether a father can betroth a fetus, okay? And is it valid? But even putting that aside, it seems to me like they're saying a father could betroth this creature the second it's born, okay? So now, his question is like this. Mahu, mahu. So is that a valid kiddushin? So presuming that we don't really think this is going to survive to the age of marriageable age, l'mayin afkamina. So what's the relevance? So what's the relevance of his question? Li'itzure ba'achota. To forbid the man who was betrothed to this fetus, or let's say it's even born, this human animal creature like thing, to allow him to marry the sister, right? We can assume the creature has a normal sister. Is he allowed to marry the sister? Because a man can't marry two sisters. Well, now he says, wait a minute. This question, bichlal, is a ridiculous question, because if a man marries a woman and the woman dies, so he can marry the sister. He can't marry the sister while the woman's still alive. If he divorces the woman, he can't marry her sister. But if she dies, he can marry her sister. So are you trying to say, lememer dechaye, that this creature could actually survive and, you know, live? Rabbi Meir only said, she miscarries or gives birth to some animal-like creature, which isn't going to survive, but since other parallel animals like that could survive, therefore we're going to consider this a leida, okay? And she's tumei atuma leida. But it sounds like only because umino mitkayem, but not because it itself could survive. So how could you even ask that question? You're presuming it could survive. So now they say, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Ad kan hebio Rabbi Yirmiyah l'Rabbi Zera lidei gichuch. He was just trying to make him laugh, but he didn't succeed. Okay? And Rabbi Zera wasn't amused by his question. He was trying to kind of ask an amusing question to kind of lighten up the discussion, come up with some crazy stories just to make people laugh, but the rabbi didn't laugh. He didn't find the whole thing amusing. Okay? In other words, the basic point is it wasn't a real question at all. There was no way this could actually be a question. He was just trying to make light of the situation. Okay. Gufa. Now we're going to go into this line. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, lo Amar Rabbi Meir, ela ho'il b'mino mitkayem. Amar Rav Yirmiyah midifti, af ana nami tanina. We can learn the following also from the following source. Hamapelet kemim behema va'of, right, our Mishnah, right, of Vlad Ma'alya, or basically, right, we're going to treat that as leida, divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chachamim omrim ad shehebo mitzurat adam. V'hamapelet sandal o shiliya o shvir meruchan, v'yotze mechutach, Haba acharav bechor lenachala. Right. This isn't our Mishnah. It sounded like our Mishnah, but this is okay. I forgot to point this out. This is important. In the first case, hamapele kemin beima chayav va'of. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a vlad. Now, what is it a vlad for? Okay. Now you'll remember that we learned this all in Bechorah. What's it a vlad for? It's a vlad for. It's not a vlad for nachala. It's not a bechor lenachala. So the next one we'll get pishnayim. Right. If we treated this birth as a bechor, then the next one doesn't get pishnayim. It just gets regular. But we treat it not like a bechor. In other words, it's not as if it was a birth, but we do treat it for kohen. It's not pidyon ben, right? Ad shebo mitzurat ad. One second. Let me just make sure. Hachitani yesh bechor lenachala ve'ein bechor lekohen. V'kachashiv, right? There will be a bechor lenachala, but there won't be a bechor for kohen because this was already peterechem. And then chachamim omrim ad shebo mitzurat adam. It has to be an adam to be considered anything. So if it looks like a sandal fish, we talked about, wasn't it? Or some people say it's a sandal, some people say it's a sandal fish, or a shilia, right? I think it's just the placenta. Is that how they define it? Or shvir murukam, like embryonic material, or what's a rikma, like a
developed embryo,
right? What did they say?
Developed embryo.
A developed embryo, okay, where it's already kind of developed. That, but parts of it, right? Oh, hayotzei mechutach, it comes up cut in pieces. Haba acharav b'chor lenachala ve'eno b'chor lekohen. Okay, so this next one will not, if it comes out like this, even Chachamim say it's not going to be a Bechor LeKohen. In other words, this is, the next one will not be a Bechor for a Kohen because it is like something came out. Be'isal kadata dechaye, and if you want to say it's, okay, so now where do we start with this gufa? With what? The statement, lo amar meir eloho ilu b'mino mitkayem, meaning things like this could survive, but it itself couldn't survive. So now they say like this. If you say it could survive, then haba achara b'chor l'nachala mihave. Then how could the one that comes after it be a b'chor l'nachala? And therefore, this proves that it can't survive, because if it had the capability of surviving, we never would have said the next one can be a b'chor l'nachala. Okay? If it had a chance of survival. So this proves that it can't survive. Amar Rava, what do you mean? La'olam d'chayi. No, it really could survive. This is a great answer. V'shanehatam, going back to that TV program. V'shanehatam d'amakra, reshit ono. Well, who gets the nachala? The first of his ono. What does that mean, really? The first that he really favors, right? He loves that one. Misha libo davalav. Yatzazeh she'en libo davalav. If someone gives birth to this creature, certainly the father's not going to, right, like wicked, right? Nobody, they don't love the green, right, the green girl that's born. It's like, it's disgusting. You know, that person is out of the realm of nachala. Okay, so maybe it could survive, it just wouldn't be favored. Ba'amine Rav Ada Bar Ava me'abaye. So now Rav Ada Bar Ava asked the following question to Abaye. L'Rabbi Meir de'amar behema b'me'e isha v'lab ma'al yehu, who treats this creature as a real legitimate creature, Adam b'me'e behema mai. Okay, here comes the also crazy questions. What if an animal gives birth to something human-like? My nafkamina. What's the nafkamina for this? Right, we had the nafkamina for the behema about marrying off. You know, what if we married it off? Would it be forbidden to the sister? What would be the nafkamina here? Lishteruye ba'achila. Would it be allowed to be eaten? Okay, the assumption here, Rashi says, we're talking about, if you remember, ben pekua. What's that? When you shecht the mother and there's a fetus inside, that's right, then you automatically, remember, it matirs the fetus for eating even without shechita. Because the assumption is you can't really do shechita on a human. But, if that sounds like, right, but if it didn't need shechita at all, right, so maybe you could eat the human. Let's learn it from this question that came before. Rabbi Yochanan said, if you slaughter an animal, sorry, I don't know if it was a question, he just said the following halacha. If you slaughter an animal and inside you find a bird, asura ba'achila. So therefore, what do you see? If a bird's going to be asura ba'achila, all the more so a human. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean, all the more so a human? That's a bird, that's a human, there's a difference. Hachi hashta, you're going to compare those two? Hatam lo prasot ika velo parsa ika. They don't have split hooves, they don't even have hooves at all. There's nothing feet-like about them. But hacha nihide prasot leka parsa mia ika. But by humans, it has feet that look like animal feet, so maybe you would say it's okay. Notice there's no answer to this question. It's not exactly a practical one. V'chachamim omrim kol she'en bo. Now, what do we say? Kol she'en bo mitzurat adam ein ovlad. Now, mitzurat adam is a little tricky. What does it mean, mitzurat adam? Does it have to have a little bit of a form of a person? Does it have to look completely like a person? What if we have, and now we're going to get into birth defects, and where it's not, part of it's animal, part of it's human, part of it's not, or we don't know exactly. Where do we draw the line? When it says mitzurat, what does he mean? So, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amachav. Hakol modim, okay, here I charted it out. Everyone agrees that what? Gufo tayish upanav adam. The body of a goat, but the face of a man, of a human, adam, is considered human. Gufo adam upanav tayish, if its body is like a human, but its face is like a goat, vilo klum. That's nothing. Okay, that's obviously not going to be considered human. What's the machloket Rabbi Meir v'chachamim here? Koshi yesh bo mitzurat adam, and versus Rabbi Meir who thinks anything. Lo nechleku ela shepanav adam v'nivra ba'ayin echad kebehema. If its face looks like adam, but there's one eye that looks like an animal. So Rabbi Meir omer mitzurat adam. Rabbi Meir says mitzurat adam, meaning as long as any part of it looks like an adam, it's fine. We treat it like an adam. V'chachamim omrim kol tzurat adam, meaning The whole thing has to look human. And since this one has an eye that's the animal eye, that's not going to count. Amarlo, the Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, but now, and it's Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said this, and they said to him, right, what's this? It should say Amrulo. The rabbis that were there said to him, Baha'ibcha Tanya, what do you mean? It says actually the opposite. Look at our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer kol tzurat, v'chachamim omrim mitzurat. Right, so what did Rabbi Meir said, right here I don't think it says kol tzurat adam. He doesn't say kol tzurat, maybe it says it somewhere else, but look at Chachamim. He says kol she'im bo mitzurat adam. Right, so Chachamim used mitzurat, which sounds like only part of it. So basically, what does he want to say? So according to the first version, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, what happened? The machloket is, if the majority of the face is like a human, then Rabbi Meir is going to say it's human. Chachamim say it's not. But in this case, if you say the Chachamim say mitzurat, then we're going to say the Chachamim basically are saying that the argument is, what if only a little bit of the panav were like an adam? Then Rabbi Meir says we're going to treat it like an adam, and Chachamim say, no, it's not like an adam, but it would come from there that if the majority of the face, like in this case, where the everything looked like human except for one eye, even Chachamim would say that's okay. If the machloket is only about part of it, then we're going to say that Rabbi Meir will agree that the majority, I'm sorry, Chachamim will agree if the majority of the face looks human, then it's human. So Amar Lahu, his response is, Itanya Tanya. If you're right that there's a braita that says it, the Rabbi Meir says kol tzurat and Chachamim say mitzurat, then you must be right and I must be wrong, and the machloket's only about a case where a minority of the face looks human. But if the majority looks human, right, and this is like Din of Rov, right, Rov Kikulo. So if most of the face is human, even Chachamim will say human. Now we're going to have another few things like this. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Metzach, okay, forehead, hagvinim, the eyebrows, the einayim, the eyes, the lisatot, the cheeks, gabot hazakan, ad shihu kulan ke'echad. They all have to look like, all of that has to look human for it to be human, according to Chachamim. The Rava Amar Chasa, Rava said the name of Chasa, okay, interesting name, metzach, the hageven, the ha'ayin, notice the difference between them, right, forehead's the same, but hageven, given the gav, I think it's called gavin, is one of the eyebrows, v'ha'ayin, one eye, v'ha'leset, one cheek, v'gabot ha'sakan. But how do they choose the gabot ha'sakan? The gabot of the zakan, or right, the brow of the... Okay, so the gabot ha'sakan means the chin. So part of the chin, ad shihu kulan ke'echat. Okay, in other words, it's enough that... But as long as one side of the face looks like an Adam, we're going to treat it like an Adam, okay? Which, this is very much, you know, there's birth defects where one side of the face is normal and one is distorted. So according to this version, even if one side looks like an Adam, we're going to treat it already like an Adam, even according to Chachamim. The low pligi, and there's really no machloket between these two, ha kemanda amar kol tzurat, v'ha kemanda amar mitzurat. Right, they're not, the debate isn't, okay, do we hold like Rabbi Meir or do we hold like Chachamim? You might have thought maybe the one who says one side would basically be saying, I hold like Rabbi Meir. No, it's just a matter of how you translate this kol tzurat, you say, that the whole tzurat has to be, that's the first reading, or the second reading is as long as mitzurat, it has, partially looks like Adam, as long as one side, that's sufficient. Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rava, who said in the name of Chasa, this one side of thing. Tzurat ha'panim shamru, afilu, here's a braita, okay? So when they talked about a tzurat panim that's going to make it tumat leida, afilu partzuf echad mina partzufim. As long as one of the parts of the face, like the eye, the nose, the mouth, the chin, as long as one of them looks like adam, what are we going to call that? Adam. Chutz mina ozen. Okay, the ozen is the one thing that if the ear of the animal looks like a person's, then we're not going to say that it's human. But if all the other ones look like human, then even just one of them, that's fine. L'meimra d'mechad namisage. This seems to sound like even one of these things. And notice what he said, the metzach, the gavin, the ayin, the leset, all those things, right? It made it sound like Rava was saying half the face, not just one of the list. So Amar Abaye, kitanya hahi, that whole thing about the partzuf achavad amar partzufim, le'akev tanya. Okay, what does it mean, la'akev? That if one of those things is not like an Adam, then she's not going to, then One second. Even if one of those was like a behemah, then it will prevent her from tumat leida. Okay, so if you have one set that's not right, right, and then it's keman to amar kol tzura, that you have to have the whole tzura looking like an adam. That's one answer. V'bayit eima lo olam keman to amar mitzura. Okay, it could be, no, really, it's mitzurat umay echad, 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 one of each. In other words, when it said one, partsuf echad, mina partsufim, it meant exactly Rava, right? And that's what Rava said, it has to have, one of each has to look, just not both of them, right? That echad, mina partsufim, doesn't mean just one, like just the eyes, it means one of each, one of every part of the face has to look. Amar Rava, nivra ba'ayin echad ubiyerech echad, minatzad, imot mea, ba'emtza imot torah. This is also, if you talk about birth defects, so what are they saying? If you have only one eye, one leg, on the side of your body where it's supposed to be, that's tumat leida. But if she gives birth to something where everything's in the center of the body, where that's not where it's supposed to be, then it's she's tehora. Last line for today, amarava, veshto nakuv, if the esophagus has a hole in it when it's born, right, which we call a trefa, basically, right, it won't survive very long, imot mea, it's still considered a vlad. But veshto atum, if it's closed entirely, the esophagus, then imot tohora, because it won't survive at all. In other words, there's some sort of survival rate for having it cracked, but not for having it, or having a hole in it, but not for having it sealed off.